Thank you, very well. So, I don't have I never do a PowerPoint. I always do my lectures through internet. So, the reason is that if you want, you can see the material by yourself afterwards. You can find the material doing this path. This is my name, Antonino Saggio. You just Google it. The connection. You can try again the connection. Normal. Maybe the connection didn't take the password. Again. Okay, I'll do it with my phone. Okay, I'll do it my phone. He went. Okay. Oh, it's fine. But is there internet here?
Yeah, it's the one with the PC link, the type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But apparently it did not go. Let's see. Okay, it seemed to go. Anyway, if you write Antonino Saggio, you are right here. And you will find the link of the today talk. The title that I decided with Professor Barbacci is "The Reason Peter Reisman Loves Giuseppe Terragni." I was with Peter Reisman yesterday in Venice. And he assumed something that I cannot believe is true, that nobody of you will know who Giuseppe Terragni is. Who can say just one thing of Giuseppe Terragni? So it's a completely unknown, right? Correct? Okay. So Peter is right. I could not believe, but anyway, I'll give the lecture. But all of you know who is Peter Reisman, correct? Yes, because he was teaching at Yale for 20 years. Okay, so I will work out the talk, putting together these two persons, Giuseppe Terragni, who is the most known architect, Italian architect of the last century. Surely is the architect to whom the major number of pages in architectural book has been devoted in many many American books as well. And Peter Eisman, of course, you know, Peter is 95 now, 94, 95. He's in good physical shape. This is just of yesterday. The reason that I wanted to take this picture is because I wanted to give him the English version of my monography on Giuseppe Terragni, and this monography as an introductory text by Peter Eisman. The book is here if you want to see afterwards or during the talk. So let's start to open the box, let's say. With this little link, you can go to a lot of my studies on Terragni, on the different books in Italian, English, but also many other essays that I did on Terragni, and other books, and many lectures pretty much around the world. Many of these are linked. That means it's possible for people who is interested to go and go deeper if there is an interest. Okay, let's keep this one open so we will not get upset. Okay. Here also there are three previous lectures that I gave here in Civita. Two were concerns with previous summer program directed by Professor Barbacci, of Yale student. One it was that one of last year, and the other one was 2 years ago. And this one instead was in occasion of an international conference that was organized here to study the issue concerning these very fragile towns and territories. As everything is possible to go there and look at the lecture So now let's start from Peter Eisman, and then we go to Giuseppe Terragni. And the reason is because with the iPhone attached, you always want to see if you have this thing. Okay, let me see, it is attached to, okay. So, all right. Peter Eisman made his first trip in Italy in 1961, coming from the north, from England actually, with his little buggy car, and with his mentor that is called Colin Rowe. They stopped in different places concerning modern architecture, and finally that they arrived in Como. Como is the hometown of Giuseppe Terragni. Giuseppe Terragni was dead already since 18 years, and Colin Rowe wanted to show Terragni work to the young, to the 30 years old Peter Eisman, because he kind of had the sensation that this meeting would have changed his life. Basically, is what Peter wrote in this introductory text, that is it really tells about the discovery of the architecture of the Rani. He uses it as the word as epiphany, and he underlines that his architectural life would never be the same. This is the reason why, this is the reason I asked Peter Eisman to write an introductory text to this book of mine, that you can have it, you can look around. And Peter Eisman started to make his dissertation thesis in Cambridge, and it was called The Formal Basis of Modern Architecture. He wanted to do a thesis only on Terragni and the formal principle of Terragni, but basically he was obliged also to put other architects in the thesis, thinking that was only Terragni, it seemed too extreme. Anyway, this thesis is called exactly The Formal Analysis of Modern Architecture, and the use of this term is very important, because at that time, in the 60s, architecture was mainly studied as a combination of different issues, structural, contextual, formal, and historical, sociological, etc. While the position of these new architects was to put at the forefront the idea of the syntax, that means the idea of the inner rules through which architecture take place, or this is formed. That's why this thesis is really devoted only to this issue, and of course this depends on the research and of the position of Colin Rowe, his master. Colin Rowe has written some essays at the end of the 40s and in the 50s that were comparing the villas of Palladio's with the villas of Le Corbusier. Four centuries of difference, all new, all different contexts, structural, etc. But the point of Colin Rowe was, if you look for of some principle, formal principle, then you will understand some underlying structures that will keep the works together. So all this approach basically was coming to Peter Eisman from Colin Rowe, and he found in Giuseppe Terragni a field of exploration and of analysis. Just yesterday, Peter Eisman told me that when he went in Como to visit the studio of Terragni, nobody really cares of the material of this architect, and they said, yes, yes, go upstairs, so the material is there. And Peter asked if he could take something, and they said, yes, yes, take everything you want, but the original. So he told me that he still has probably 300 blueprints, original blueprints of the Ferragni office in the 30s, and he told me that he has the agreement to donate to the Brera Academy in Milan, and probably a show will take place in this occasion. So these are just news of the very, very last moment. Anyway, we hope that this happens, of course. He wrote two very seminal texts, which is From Object to Relationship and From Object to Relationship 2. One is dedicated to the Casa del Fascio, which is by many considered the most important architecture by Giuseppe Ferragni, and the other, the Giuliani Frigerio, is the last work by Ferragni, is a residential work of four apartments in Como. Everybody knew that Peter Eisenman was supposed to write a book on Ferragni, and it was kind of a joke in the circle. It is this year finally Peter's book came out, and never came out. So was waiting decades and decades. Finally, in 2004, his book came out, and the book is called Giuseppe Ferragni, Transformation, Composition, Critique. It is, strangely enough, a book again dedicated only to these two works. It's not a book dedicated to the entire production of Ferragni, but only to these two works, Giuliani Frigerio and Casa del Fascio, works that he already dedicated article at the end of the 60s. The book is a very, very deep analysis. It's exactly what the title says, is a deep theory book that through many analytical drawings, he shows a formal approaches embodies in architecture of Ferragni. So there are probably 30 or 40 analytical drawings by each. The majority, they are axonometric drawings, but also plans and elevation, never perspectives, of course. And these drawings are done during the years at his office, and many of these drawings were done by the people that went to spend sometimes at Peter Eisenman's office, like Daniel Libeskind, Ren Kolas, Greg Lynn, and many, many others. So finally, this book is out, and the book is out with an Italian printer, and it is out also in Italian and in English. I use also, oh my God. I use the personality of Peter Eisenman in my class at La Sapienza, particularly because I teach a course that puts together information technology and information technology and architecture. So I wanted to show to my students like the approach of Peter Ashman can be very instrumental to understand certain thinking processes related to thinking architecture with computers and with information technology. So this is just a page of my course in which I link several materials concerning Peter Ashman. By the way, I forgot to say, I wrote a book on Peter Ashman in 1996. Unfortunately, this book was never translated in English, but strangely enough, was translated in other languages, and it was a pretty popular book. Then in other essays of mine and in the book series, often the personality of Peter Ashman is present. Why is so present? First of all, of course, because he's a relevant figure in as an architect, but I would say that mainly because he has a kind of a didactic attitude in his work. You probably know that the studio of Peter Ashman, I mean the professional studio, was working in a very similar way to a way that a studio in the university works, starting each project. There is always a communal research work to try to understand what are the relevant issue of the project. And of course, these relevant issues has always to do with some theoretical aspect related to the possible project. So it's not a normal analysis like site and program. We really find some overlapping with the philosophy, art, or science. And then after the phase, the different person in the professional studio, they start to elaborate different possibilities, and gradually the professional studio will move gradually in picking the best and closing the circle, and at the end developing the best one. So this is an approach very unusual in a professional office, and instead in Peter Ashman is like that. I know this because we wrote this, a friend of mine with the IT Revolution in Architecture book series wrote this book that was called Ashman, Digital Ashman, and he spent 1 year in Ashman office, and he explained to me what was the actual process, etc. Anyway, now if we want to see the images that I selected to speak just a little bit of Peter Ashman, we go to this link, okay? Okay. mai non c'è internet, è un disastro. È colpa di Trump, che vi boicotta. Questo è del museo archeologico. Okay, doesn't matter. We got it. Ma tu non mi puoi fare ponte su dal tuo? Non mi puoi fare ponte dal tuo telefono? Neanche tu hai internet. Ok, ci vado da qua. Prova ad andarci tu. Ok, all right, no, was fine. Ero io che ero confuso. All right, so let's start to understand how Peter Eisman starts his thinking on architecture. We just said that he starts from these two walls. On one side is la Casa del Fascio by Terragni, and on the other side is the Giuliani Frigerio. We notice that he only basically deals with these two walls. Now, what is interesting of these two works is that in some way they are, from a formal point of view, really the opposite. Because the Casa del Fascio is a work that we will discuss about it later in more details, but is a perfect semicube that is excavated, so is a operation of excavation. The perimeter of the semicube is left always pure, and the operation is that one of carving the volume at different depths. Naturally, there is much more, and we are going to talk about that. The other work, the Giuliani Frigerio, is very much different because he has an operation of explosion of the parts. There is not a fixed perimeter, but the different parts, the canopy, the parts of the facades, the window strips, etc., are kind of detached one from the other, like the forces are from the inside out, like an explosion. So there are two very different approach to the form making. It is interesting why Peter Eisenman picked two projects so different one from the other, but the reason in some way becomes clear when we see this house that actually is called House 2, that is his second built work, and it is done in 1969-1970. The clients of these houses are generally his colleagues of the different American school where he teaches, and so they are little peculiar clients. So in this house, from a syntax point of view, we see the merging of the two movements we just saw. From one point of view, it is a process of excavation as well. From the other point of view, is also a process of explosion. But how? The movement of the explosion is not like in Giuliani Frigerio, from inner out. It's not like this, but it's from out in. So is an explosion not towards the outside, but towards the inside. And so that act, the explosion within a perimeter, the border within a glass, the border within an ampoule, is called an implosion, is where the movement are in some way kept together by a border. That is called implosion, it's not explosion. So in some way, Eisenman invented a new syntax approach that was this one of the implosion. The house, if you look just for 1 second, is clearly has some smell, some is in some way close to Terragni, but at the same time is different. It's different because the syntax that he in some way he invented, it is very different. In some way, that's why Peter Eisenman is always an architect that can be called very didactic in a way, that he wanted to really show his process, his process of creating formal thinking, and the same he wants to have from his student, of course, it's the same approach. And in the years, we will not, we leave Peter Eisenman here, just to say that the figure of Giuseppe Terragni for Peter Eisenman is a kind of psychoanalytic whole, we would say, and he's the first one that admit that is true. In a lecture he said, well, Terragni is me, Terragni is me. In another lecture, actually the lecture in which we were together, on the first picture that was done in New York, he said constantly, we have to invent. We have to invent Palladio. We have to invent Terragni. What he meant is really that we have to go inside the process of this architect and to a certain extent make our own, starting from their work. In this way, the attitude of an architect, a practicing architect, an architect that teaches architectural design towards architecture of the past is very different from the attitude that other subjects can devote to these topics. Of course, the historians of architecture tend to have an attitude much more closer to the actual documents, either papers or drawings. And people that deal with the history of construction look at things differently. People that deal with the city planning looks again differently. But there is a very important space, and the route has been exactly signed by Peter Reisman in approaching architecture of the past with the autonomy of thinking of an architecture, a practicing architect, or a professor of architecture. Now, let me try, how can I get... Okay, now let's start to talk of Giuseppe, Ercole, Enea. These are the three names of Terragni. Terragni is born in 1904, and died in 1943, at the age of 39. He died after the consequences of the Second World War. He was a soldier and he was sent to Russia, and during the retreat of Russia, many problems happened, and when he came back home, he was completely devastated, and he died shortly after. So although he died at 39 years old, actually he stopped practice at the age of 35. Because he was called to the Italian army exactly when he was 35. That's why of many pictures, when I was at the archive writing, preparing my book, I pick up this one because I wanted to give the sensation of a young person, almost as a young adult, doing this phenomenal work. The other picture, you see Terragni on your left. Terragni is at the quarries of Como, very close to Como, and it is picking the marble for the Casa del Fascio. I want to check if I can have a better organization of this stuff. Perché non mi sembra, lo fa a tutti, perché lo schermo non è centrato, è schiacciato. Lo fa sempre? L'ha sempre fatto? Ok, then forget it. Ok, ma no, lascia perdere, perché se è dallo schermo è un macello, si può fare solo da qua. I picked this other picture as a key picture because is the studio where Termagni worked. Termagni worked mainly during the night, and then he gave in the morning the sketches or the pencil drawings to the craftsmen to produce line drawings that are necessary for the production of architecture. I also picked this other picture because I want to give you the sensation that Termagni, that is this person, was part of the avant-garde of modern architecture, of the international avant-garde of modern architecture. This is one of the famous CIAM Congress of Modern Architecture Congress that took place in during a trip on a boat from Marseille to Atene, and so these are basically the renovation of the mode of the architecture was a matter of few persons, 20-25 persons around Europe mainly. And Terragni was part of it, although very, very, very young. Here there is a movie from which these pictures are taken that is extremely interesting because you see the actual moving done during the trip. So again, for people that have a keen interest, this material is rather interesting and can go through the link. Also, Terragni was a city planner, and what he presented during this trip was exactly the new planning for the city of Como, that was one of the first cities in Italy that had this city plan following the issues of the CIAM, so the issues of modern functional architecture. Then, as I said, the war was a tough moment. Terragni left in 1939 and came back with a very important nervous breakdown. And if you look at the picture, you look at the eyes, you can see that this man was lost, basically, after he saw during the war his mind was basically lost. The last project that he did is a project for a cathedral, and this is a reconstruction that we did. Now, let's see, I prepared some movies to give you a sense of the whole production of Terragni. I don't know if... Let me see, downloaded. I tried to download it. Okay, good.
I'm going already in a rough English translation of the title. So, this actually...
Okay. Where is it? What is it? Sorry, but the last thing that I could imagine was that the internet was not working. Sorry about this. I will try with mine again. Non c'è campo neanche per il non c'è campo. Okay, well, you can see by yourself there is these movies that will tell briefly the entire architecture of Giuseppe Terragni, so you can have an idea of the entire production, and basically we cannot see them now. Okay. I want to show briefly the city of Terragni, Como, that is a very beautiful city on the lake. Actually, it's a city that has been selected by several American actors because it's rather beautiful. This is the office of Terragni, of the family. These are the first drawings, the first commission. Particularly, this one was interesting because it's a war monument of the death of the war, but he had this principle to make the architecture like a landscape, like a landscape event. Terragni started his activity as an avant-garde architect in 1927, forming a group with other architects called Gruppo Seven. They were heavily influenced by Le Corbusier. This is his first building, the Novo Comune, that is exactly in Como. It's an apartment building. It is one of the first in Italian modern architecture. You can see many pictures in the book, other projects. This is the famous Casa del Fascio that we are going to talk specifically. This just to give you an idea of his production. Then he made five apartment building houses in Milano, always following that abstract modernistic approach. This is the most famous one, it's called Casa Rustici. He entered in several very large competitions for Rome, often making more than one project, like in this case. This is a tomb that he made for an hero of the First World War, and that is considered another of his masterpieces. Is the school, is the daycare, Asilo Sant'Elia, again in Como. It's a very intriguing project where nature, air, interrelationship of spaces are always important part. This is a famous project called the Danteum, And this is one of his last projects, the Casa Giuliani Frigerio that I mentioned before. Okay. I'm not sure if I can find it. Sorry, I have to go back by hand. Again, this is the asilo. The monument. And now I wanted to briefly explain what Ragni did in this Casa del Fascio, that is considered by many his masterpiece. Eccola. One second, we'll go there. Como is it's a beautiful city, and many architectural students get fascinated by the experience of Ferragni and follow the steps of Peter Eisman and go there to enjoy the city, to enjoy the landscape, and also to enjoy the, and to study the architecture of Ferragni, looking in real Okay. Now, as I told you, let's talk about the Casa del Fascio building, okay? It is this building, okay? This I took it from Google Earth because I want to give the exact sensation when Peter Eisman speaks about the epiphany of this building. There is a phrase very nice in the book when he describes his arrival, and you arrive and you see the Casa del Fascio like this. I also put a Google Earth location to really show where the building is, which is basically here. And what you will notice probably from this aerial picture is that there is a lake, there are mountains, then there is one part of the city that is very structured in an orthogonal grid, and then there is the expansion. Now, Como actually is one of the cities that are built as colony by the Romans during their occupation, the ancient Romans, of course, during the occupation of the northern part of Italy. The Romans start creating a military camp, and gradually the military camp evolved into city, but keeping its origin. And its origin is not only the origin of that kind of orthogonality, it is also the kind of spirit of creating an artificial act, confronting the outside, confronting the danger, confronting the nature, confronting everything that is not dominated by man. So it is a geometrical attitude, but it's also a kind of psychological attitude. And architecture is born as an artificial act to confront the nature. The building is organized, the Casa del Fascio is organized in three okay. Here we can see a selection of picture of the Casa del Fascio, starting from those on the aerial picture, and then we see some others. Okay. So you can have a kind of a sense of the building with just a selection of images. Okay. You'll do that by yourself because internet is not working. Okay. So we see this strong geometry, we see this okay. Let's start to understand the plan and also the program. The program is, between the two world wars, Italy was dominated by the fascist party that was a nationalistic, aggressive dictatorship. And this party needs some buildings for organizing its activity. One of these buildings is exactly this one that was called the House of Fascio, la Casa del Fascio, in which there are, this we see the ground floor plan. The first thing that we realize is that the building is divided in three streets. This is very important to understand. And the three streets have a very important reason, that this is the room where everybody gets like 200, 300 persons for public events related to the party, but at the same time, it's very important that this the flow of people that are here continue on the outside. So inside and outside is related with this inner band. Then. Okay. Okay, this is the ground floor. This is the ground floor. Okay. So outside and inside, and this you see this mechanical system of doors that opens automatically to allow this flow between inside and outside. Then it's a pretty typical organization. There is a main stair here, and that bring to offices and to a larger room for the leader and its close collaborators. And then there is another stair over here, which brings up to the other two floors. And what is peculiar of this organization is, as we are going to see in 1 second, this room, the larger meeting room, it is double heights. It is a double heights. So this one is like a balcony that oversee on this. But then this is covered, and it is covered, and this is an independent system that don't overlook in the previous one, in the previous level. And so at the other level there are different type of sub-organization or young organization for young people, etc. So it's a building dedicated completely to this, and this picture shows, I think, very well what I wanted to say, that the inside is strongly related with the outside in the idea of Giovanni. So this middle band, I would call it this middle part of a three-part partition, really works in that way. The other issue, very important to understand, is that the building is dedicated to an imperialist dictatorship, and generally when you have to deal with this type of power, you go into rhetoric, you go into monumentalism, you go into symmetry, you go in classicism, you go with all that apparatus that was generally related to underline of the power of this dictatorship. On the contrary, Terragni used, as you can see, a very abstract and minimalist language. Not only, as we are going to see in 1 second, he discovered also how to create a dynamic architecture within the strong boundaries that he put to himself. The strong boundaries that he put to himself was to create everything exactly into a semi-cube. This is a semi-cube of 32 meters by 60 meters of height, so it's a perfect semi-cube. And he wanted that kind of abstraction, so a kind of a perfect geometrical object, also to create a relationship, non-relationship, with the Duomo that is city close by. So this was a very strong decision on not going to do any mimetic architecture, non-mimetic in using architectural orders, non-mimetic in using materials, etc., but going through abstraction. So, but the very interesting battle idea, invention of the Terragni, is how you can have a building that belongs to the culture of modernity, that is a culture of asymmetry, a culture of dynamic forces, a culture that comes from cubism in a way, how you can have that within the boundary of a semi-cube, of a perfect semi-cube, in addition, in an historical context. His invention is a formal invention and is extremely interesting as a way to solve this issue. What he did, he created always something that I call a vertical band. So if you look at this facade, you can see that there is a vertical band that goes directly from the top to the bottom. So this is one, okay? This is another one. If you turn on the other side, you can see that there is one, another one, another one, another one, and another one. Always with the same rule, from top to bottom with no interruption, going always like that. And again, it's always one, two, three, four, always, always. What this creates is a really amazing. It is the fact that if you look at the building is never static, is never symmetrical. It always pushes you to a kind of dynamic vision, a kind of forces to knowing through all the phases and knowing it from the movement. So this is a kind of a miracle, because again, if you imagine that you start with a semi-cube in that historical context, how complex is to find a solution that is at the same time dynamic and asymmetrical. And this system of the vertical band, it is really the secret, if we can say, of this architecture. I want to say something very briefly about my book. My book, in many points of view, is really the opposite of the writing of Peter Eisman's book. While Peter Eisman's book is a book completely dedicated to the syntax and theory, and is only based on those work, my book is as a subtitle that is a critical biography. In other occasion was called Giuseppe Durani, Life and Work. So the effort is really to put together different layers of Durani activity. So there is the cultural level and what was happening in those dramatic years, but also very intense years in Italy between the two world wars, and how Durani and a group of young architects started to find their ways in that situation. There is discussion of the architecture in a similar way I did today with you, just briefly and just for the Casa del Fascio, because I am an architectural professor as well. So I think it is important for the readers that I imagine are mainly architects or students of architecture to understand that the principle through which architecture is done, and so that is it is a very important point. And then the book has five photographic campaign by Dennis Marsico, that is an American professional photographer. The first time that we did is in 1987, and the picture that is in the cover of the book is the picture that the publisher picked, but that in reality is me going down in the stairway of Novokovo. And I said to the publisher, but you know that was me. He said, no, but I don't care. I think this is the best picture I want for the cover. And the photographic material is very important, and so there is throughout the book, but also at the end of this chapter, there is a portfolio of picture of Dennis Marsico that pinpoint a particular award. Then there is bibliography and notes and other things that you may are probably less interesting, except you will go in something more specific, like specific research or PhD studies, etc. So I put here some picture of the work of the only of the Casa del Fascio, so you will feel other aspect of this building. I think this is enough, Norma, don't you think? So thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks. Now you know. Fine. Thank you.